And this is week number six as we continue our series, God's Got This. We're looking at the book of Isaiah chapter 40, and I encourage you to grab a Bible and turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah and turn to chapter 40, and we are hopefully growing together in our faith. Not evidenced by the crowd or lack thereof. I look across the auditorium and I'm down to one attender. Randy is my one person in my audience this weekend. And so we're going to hopefully do a better job. We can grow our audience a little bit. I've heard rumor also of some of you developing bad habits. And I'm really concerned about when we get back together, the fact that you're going to need a break to go to the bathroom. You're going to want to go out and get a snack in the kitchen and a lot of other bad habits. Some of you are doing a lot of text messaging. And I hope you're enjoying your time at home and with your family. And our prayers have been with you. We want to thank you for being with us during these online services. And we're thankful for, we've had a lot of great letters and great notes of encouragement. And I've had a lot of comments. Yes, I'm gaining weight. Yes, I need a haircut. All of that. But we're glad you're communicating with us. And we're hoping that you're growing. This is a text of Scripture which was given by God to His children. And it's really for us for a time such as this. It's a text that is faith building. And we believe the Word of God is powerful. I had someone comment that I use an awful lot of Scripture. Well, we do use the Word of God. We believe that it's given by God to us, and this is our focus. My prayer is that the Word of God will work powerfully in your heart, powerfully in your mind, and that it'll strengthen you and help you. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God is powerful. We want to take you to the Word and to the Lord, that you'll trust in the Lord with all your heart, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, not leaning to your own understanding, but acknowledging Him, knowing that He will direct your path. And it's good to know that God is with us. We all struggle at times in our journey of faith, and certainly during this protracted crisis, this long and difficult time, our faith is challenged. But I also hear reports of people growing in their faith, doing better, and experiencing the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord. And that's really my hope. There's some great Bible stories of people that experienced seeing God work. I mean, this week, right here in Maine, in the town of Jay, we saw God work a miracle where God protected our mill workers up in Jay. A huge explosion. There could have been huge loss of life and lots of injuries, and there was no loss of life. God took care of those mill workers, and we believe God worked a miracle. God is a God that is involved in our lives, and we want to give Him honor and give Him glory. If you want to turn to a text of Scripture for a moment, I'm going to look at Mark chapter 9 just for a moment. And we're going to pick the story up in verse 18. And it's a story of a young man that needed healing and needed deliverance. And Jesus is going to do a powerful work. Now, what we want to see in this text is that Jesus says that belief and faith make a difference in how God works. So how God is working in my life and working in your life as an individual is measured by our faith. And today we're going to be giving you some teaching that's going to build your faith, strengthen your faith. And this text of Scripture, we're just looking at it, and it says that this individual needed a deliverance, needed a healing, and the disciples couldn't bring it about. It says at the end of verse 18, so he says, I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And here's Jesus' response in verse 19. Mark 9 and verse 19, Jesus answers and says, O faithless generation. It was because of their faith that God was not doing a great work in this little boy's life. And he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. They brought him to him, and when he saw him immediately, it says the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. And so Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he says, from his childhood. Verse 22, he often has been thrown both in through the fire and the water. He's gone through great adversity. But he says, but if you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said this, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Belief, trusting God. And Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. And I think my response and your response, as we're faced with adversity and difficulty, some in our fellowship are faced with illness, and we're praying for healing for them. Many are full of anxiety and fear and stress. People have lost their jobs. Some are going through economic difficulties. There's a whole list of difficulties where we need the help of the Lord. And the father's response was, he said, immediately the father of the child in verse 24 cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, I think that's a good prayer for us to begin this time together in the Word today. I believe, help my unbelief. The Lord is going to meet us at the place of our unbelief. And I believe that he's going to take you from unbelief to be strengthened in your faith to believe and trust in him again. That's my hope and that's my prayer. We're praying, God, help us. In fact, let's pray. Lord, help us at our point of unbelief. We believe in you. We love you. But Lord, many are struggling right now, and so we pray that you would meet us at our place of unbelief, our place of doubt, our place of fear, and our place of weakness. We pray your presence and your power in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're going to read a story about, these are all introductory texts, but we're going to look at a story about Jesus and his disciples, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Now remember, we're talking about God having this, and his presence brings his power, and he can help us in our difficulties. And so we want to welcome his presence. So it tells us that they had had a long day, and the disciples were going across Galilee in a boat. And in verse 22, it says, and he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. Now, remember, the disciples were seasoned fishermen, but this was a strong storm, so strong that the waves were literally going in and over the boat that they were in. And it says, but Jesus was asleep in the boat. He was taking a nap. He was tired. And he wasn't stressed. He wasn't worried. But he was present. in that boat with them. And the disciples came to Jesus and awoke him and said, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." They were in a desperate, difficult place. They needed his help. And he said to them in verse 24, "Why are you fearful?" Why are you afraid? I'm with you. I'm here. And as we go through this pandemic, God is with us. It doesn't mean some of us won't be ill or some of us won't struggle or have difficulty. But he is a God that helps us in our troubles, in our difficulties. He was with them. He is with us. He says, "Why are you so fearful and of little faith?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So Jesus has the capacity to calm us, to bring peace to our hearts and peace to our minds. And then in verse 27, listen to this, and this is what I want us to conclude with today. So the men marveled, saying, I want us to marvel at the majestic power of Christ, the presence of Christ and the difference it can make. They marveled, and this is what they said, "Who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him?" He is all powerful. And we're going to, this book of, this chapter of Isaiah 40 is a faith building chapter. Now, quick review. As we look at our outline see the chapter broken down, and we talk about the plan, the preparation, perspective, proclamation, personhood, and promise. We're gonna stay right there, and I'm gonna do a real quick review. The plan is what? That God wants to bring comfort. He doesn't want to leave you and me at a place where we're upset, a place where we're fearful, a place where we're scared of what's going to happen. He wants to comfort us, come to us, and comfort us. He is the God, by very nature, he is the God of all comfort. In the first two verses, we see that he is a God of comfort. We read a text in the New Testament where he was called the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. He's called the God of all comfort. Now, as we go to the second point in our outline, the preparation is our preparation to welcome the Lord. Do everything you can to lift the valley, lower the mountain, and straighten the road. What's that talking about? Well, it's talking about what they would do to prepare to welcome a king. Well, you're welcoming the Lord into your life. And you and I welcome him, what do we need to do? We'll remove anything between us and him. We've been praying that prayer in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, where he says, you know, "Search me, O God, and know me." You know, and know my try me and know my heart, know my anxieties. And then listen to this, verse 24, "See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." Remove any sin barrier between you and God. This trial is a purifying trial. It's perfecting us, maturing us, but it's also purifying us. So we're maybe seeing some things in our life. I've seen some things in my life during this time that, you know, I need to change, and I need to ask the Holy Spirit to give me the strength to make those changes, that I'd be in a place that I could welcome the Lord. Now, as we go to the verses 6 through 8, we're talking about perspective. What do we mean by perspective? Well, here, the prophet helps them clarify the position of man, creature, and in the next verses, we're going to be seeing the person, the creator. They were oppressed by an enemy that were just mere men. And so in those two verses, verses 6, 7, and 8, I guess three verses, he clarifies that the frailty of man and and then we're going to see the power of God. Their enemies were mere mortals. Guess what? There's no enemy that can stand against God. And so they were oppressed and fearful, and the prophet says, don't be afraid of them. Men are just like the grass of the field, the flower of the field. And we looked at texts that talked about the fact that God is greater. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If, God is for you and for me, he's for his children. So all of the enemies, at this point, it's a virus that is our enemy. Guess what? God's for us. And that virus can't stand against us. And we're not going to let it win. And we're going to end up focused on God with greater faith and greater trust in him. Well, the next part is proclamation. And the verse there says, make a proclamation. What's the proclamation? Well, the proclamation is bringing good tidings. He says, you have good news, proclaim it. And we've said, you know what? People need to hear truth right now. People need to hear about God and who he is. People need faith and hope. The world's dying for good news. And Philippians 4:8 says, think on things that are true, lovely, virtuous, of good report. Think on those positive, truth-filled, faith-filled things about God. And as we think on those things, we'll be able to share those things with others. We make a proclamation. Twice in if you're looking at your Isaiah text, in verses in this text, it says in verse 9 and then in verse 10, behold God. What was the prophet to do? Turn the people towards God. What should we do? We don't want to turn people to fear and to the government or to what people can do. We want to turn them to God. And it says twice there, behold God, look to God. And we bring a good word from the Lord. Look to him. Trust in him. Turn to him. Lift your eyes up, as the psalmist says in Psalms 121, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Where does my help come from? The Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, the next part of what I'm going to share with you, and if we can pop it up there, God's got this, Isaiah 41 through 31, and we're getting to know God a little better. And we have a number of things that this book, this chapter, teaches us about God. Now, here's our premise. We're talking about faith building. And part of building faith is not, the object of faith is not me, or it's not you. The object of our faith is God. And so what we want to do is we want to build your understanding of the truth about who God is. And so the prophet does this throughout the book, over and over again. He talks about who God is. There's even more than this. But in verse 1, we find that God is a God of comfort. In verse 2, we find that God is a God that brings forgiveness. In verse 7, we find that God is an all-powerful God. In verse 10, we see that God is the ruler over everything. In verse 11, he is called the shepherd. In verse 12, he is called creator. In verse 13, he is the omniscient, all-knowing God. In verse 14, he's the wise God. In verse 15, he's the all-powerful God, the omnipotent God. In verse 22, he's the sovereign God. In verse 23, he is the King of Kings. In verse 26, he's the omniscient, the all-knowing God. In verse 28, he's the eternal God. And in verse 29 through 31, he is the source of all strength. So as you get to know God, these are the attributes, the character qualities of God revealed in just one chapter. And as you think about what you're against and what standing against and what I'm standing against and the difficulties that we're having, set that against this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring, all everywhere present, always with you, God. And it will strengthen, it will build your faith. In fact, the fact that God is the creator, God is really the theme of this particular text. If you look at the text of Scripture that we're studying tonight, the personhood, the next part of our outline, the personhood of God, verses 12 through 26, we see in this text that it's all about the Creator God. And remembering that God created everything is key to trusting that He can care for everything. He created it, made it, and can take care of it. He created you, and He created me, and He can care for us. So let's just read a couple of those verses. If we can have verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 40, and listen to what the prophet says. As he wants to build their faith, listen to these verses. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? He asks these rhetorical questions. Who has done these things? Well, the answer is God has done these things. And remember, they were discouraged and needed to be encouraged. And so he says, who has done these things? Who has measured the waters in the hollows of His hand? God has. Who has measured the heavens with its span? Think of the universe in it with its span. Who has calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Who has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor taught Him? With whom, verse 14, did He take counsel and instruct Him and taught Him the path of justice? Now, as we read through these verses, if you're a student of the Word, you'll notice that they sound very similar to the questions that God asked Job. Remember, when Job was going through all of his difficulties, he soon was demanding that God would justify him before his friends. And God stops him in the middle of that. And I believe picking up maybe in verse chapter 38 of Job, and we can turn there if you will just for a moment, the Lord answers Job out of a whirlwind, Job 38 verse 1, and said to him, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Verse 4, listen to this. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? It's essentially the same thing the prophet's saying. Where, God, Creator God, where were you? Job, I know what I'm doing. I have this under control. Job, I have this. I got this. You can trust me. And so verse after verse, if you were to continue to read, I have the verses all printed up. And verse after verse, he says, where were you? Tell me, he says, if you understand, verse 4. Verse 5, who determined the measurement? Surely you know, or stretched the line upon it. To what were the foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? And he verse after verse after verse, he questions Job, where were you when I created all of this? We need to be reminded that Creator, our Creator God, has all of this, and He is in control. He has a purpose. We don't fully understand His purposes. His ways, Isaiah 55, His ways are different than ours. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. His timing is different than ours. But we can trust Him. He has a plan. So if we were to read all the way through these verses, it's 15 verses. From verses 12 to 26, it's 15 faith-building verses. Each verse talks about who God is and what God has done. And the prophet brings challenge to Israel to trust God, depend on God, look to God. He goes on. Let's pick up later on in the chapter in verse 21. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Now, These Israelites had heard these stories their whole life about the greatness of God. We know about God's greatness, but often we forget about it. How great he is, how powerful he is. He says, you know, haven't you known these things? Have you forgotten about these things? Verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent. What's he talking about? Creator God. Then he ends, you know, in verse 26, lift up your eyes on high. Lift up your eyes on high. See who has created these things. Let the word of God build your faith. You see, you get focused on creation, and we get focused on men, and we get focused on money, and we get focused on health, and we get focused on our control. No, we want to be focused on the Lord, his power, and his might. We believe that God's got this, and we want to build our faith. So we have an outline, a faith-building outline. And just for a couple minutes, I'm going to talk about how we can build our faith as we focus on God. Remember, the object of our faith is the Lord. That's what we want to focus on. We don't want to be looking at everything else. And so how do we build our faith? Well, we build our faith as, first of all, we remember what God has done. Listen to what the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 says. Deuteronomy 4:9, the past record of God, the things that God has done. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. You see that phrase? Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. Don't forget what God has done. The Bible, a big book, 66 books, records God creating all things, God doing miracle after miracle after miracle. The might of God is described in the Bible. It's a permanent record of the great things that God has done. What does that do for us? Well, if God can part the Red Sea, he can part the troubled waters for me. If God is a God that can, you know, heal the sick, he can heal me. If God is a God that provided for the prophet, he can provide for me. If God is the God that was in the lion's den, he can be in my place of adversity. God is a God that is there for his people. The Bible records it. So we don't want to forget what God has done. Israel, and we won't be able to delve into it today, but Israel has feasts which really helped them remember. They had feasts like the Passover feast, where they remembered that the death angel passed over them. They had, used to take stones. When they went through the sea, they would take stones and they'd build what's called a memorial. And he says, every time your children go by, remind them of the great things that God has done. It's easy to forget the great things that God has done. So how are we going to build our faith? Well, number one, remember the great things that God has done. Read the Bible. Remember those great biblical stories. Think about your life. Think of all the times he's been there for you. It'll build your faith. I have a lifetime of stories, 60 years of stories, where God provided food, God provided fuel, God brought healing, God gave wisdom, God gave strength and weakness. We all have a record of what God's done. Number two, the person of God. The person of God. This text in Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, those who had seen the great works of the Lord. Listen to that. Those who had seen all the great works of the Lord. And it said, and seen that what he had done for them, and also that generation were gathered to their fathers. Then listen to the next line. And there arose another generation after them, which did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. What a sad commentary. They didn't know the Lord nor the works which he had done for Israel. Faith building, the past record of God. Faith building, the person of God. If you know God, who he is, as we're reading through, we just listed a whole list of faith-building truths about who God is in Isaiah. And remember those things that we listed. Can we put those up, that long list that we had? And there it is. Remember that God is an all-powerful God. Remember he's creator. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. He is all-powerful. He is sovereign. This isn't just in this text, it's throughout the whole Bible, but just in this text, we have numerous truths about who God is. Know God, it'll build and strengthen your faith and my faith. Well, the last of our faith-building truth is, know the past record of God. What has he done? The Bible records it. What has he done in your life? Hopefully you have a list. Share with one another some times when God has helped you, God has strengthened you. Remember the person of God, who God is. And then lastly, remember the promises of God. God has given promises. Promises like this: I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Promises like this: faithful is he who begun a good work in you. God started a good work in you. Faithful is he who done a good work, and he will complete it. Remember, Romans chapter 8 says that nothing can separate us from God's love. What are these? These are the promises of God. Share with one another the things that God has done for you and your family, the things that God has done in the scripture. Talk about the incredible God that we worship. Remember his personhood, his character qualities, the strength of our God, and remember the great promises that he has given us. God is with you. God has this. He's got it, and he's going to take us through this difficult time. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And he's going to do a work. He's doing a work. And we want to be faithful to trust him and be faith-filled.